Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Heavenly Father, how amazing you are. Any name of God that we need to call out to, Jehovah Jireh, Elohim, the power, the presence, the person that we're calling upon is so overwhelming. We worship you this morning, God. Lord, you are good and you are faithful. You are trustworthy, God. You are almighty and all powerful. Thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. I pray that our worship and our praise to you, our surrender to you this morning, would be a sweet, sweet fragrance to you, Lord. Father, this morning we give you the rest of this service. I ask that you would continue to speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would penetrate into the areas of our lives that need your touch, whether that be healing, Lord, or joy, or peace, or challenge. God, that you would be refining us and moving us from where we are to where you need us to be. God, we trust you, we love you, and we give you this time this morning. In your awesome and mighty name we pray. Amen. Whew, sorry. Good morning. How is everyone this morning? Good? Good. Real quickly, just a couple of announcements. Stephen has graciously offered, maybe I shouldn't say offered. Maybe I said responded to me begging. No, he's going to get settled. And just a couple of quick announcements. Tomorrow we start prayer at Bridge. And so in the afternoon from 1 to 3, we're going to be here in the sanctuary. And again, from 7 to 9. And please remember, that is open to everyone. There will be people here praying for revival and the government and our country and all of those great things. So please come and be a part. But don't forget that we need to invite other churches, other Christians, anybody, everybody. Get everybody in here to be praying. So that starts tomorrow. And next Sunday, the McDougals are celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. Woohoo! And they will be having a celebration directly following service. And I don't know, I can't really see you. Carol, have you and John spoken with Pastor Jason about what that's going to look like, I hope? And we'll either be up here for renewing their vows or they may do it downstairs, but either way, we're going to be here as a church family to celebrate with them. Amen. There's an announcement, though, so if you guys could read over that and help with side dishes, salad, dessert, those kinds of things, that would be a huge blessing to them. Also, I wanted to remind you guys that all activities like Tuesday Bible studies, Wednesday evening meal, Wednesday classes, youth, all of those things are starting back up again this week. We've had a nice break, but they will be starting up again this week on Wednesday. And then offering, same three. Oh, I don't know if you're keeping up with me, Chill. I'm sorry. Offering, we can do, you can give through the giving boxes that are both here in the sanctuary and out in the foyer, as well as online and through the mail. And I hope that's everything. Jason's probably texting me saying you forgot something, but I hope that's everything. And just to give a quick update, Jason, obviously, he's, I call it rotarootering. I don't know if that's a thing, but they got a whole bunch of scar tissue out of his knee, which is strange because it's our understanding that this has been very abnormal. You shouldn't have so much scar tissue with the new knee. He shouldn't be having all these issues at all. And so prayerfully, if you guys would please pray, like, this would be done. It's been over a year now, and we just need complete healing in Jesus' name, right? So are you waving at me? I'm so glad you don't have a microphone. I'm not going to even repeat that for Jason to hear on the couch at home. So he just, as most of you know, he just doesn't do good with medicine, so he's nauseous and he's dizzy and hurting. And so we just need healing in Jesus' name again, I say. And we appreciate so much how much you guys have prayed for him and supported us and checked on us, and we really, really appreciate that. I'm done rambling, Stephen. Are you ready? Do you want me to pray? Or okay. Lord, we again just come before you, laying down all our distractions, all our stuff. And God, we're anxious to learn. We want to learn about you. We want to hear your word. Please guide us. Lord, I pray that you would anoint Stephen from the top of his head to the bottoms of his feet. Lord Jesus, that he would speak only what you would have him to speak. God, that your heart would beat within him. And Lord, we just give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Got to have my Bible, right?
Oh, kids. Sorry, kids.
Oh, kids. You can be dismissed. See, there's always something that someone has to forget. All right. Well, good morning, church. Man, it is great to be with you guys this morning. I love gathering together as a collective body to worship the name of Jesus. It's one of my favorite times of the week. I love sharing God's word. I love reading God's word. And today, I'm just going to share a little bit of my heart with you. I'm going to share just a journey that my wife and I and are serving in India and all that kind of stuff. And it's just some things that we're learning. How's that sound? It's not going to be anything I'm going to tell you that I have it all figured out. There's going to be some things I say today that are going to speak more to me than probably to some of you. You know, so just let's walk with grace this morning. Let's allow the Lord, through his word, through his spirit, to just penetrate some areas in our life that maybe need change. Amen? How many know that, like, I love what Pastor Jason says, Holy Spirit conviction. How many know that's a good thing? Because if God didn't care, he wouldn't bring conviction. He cares so much about each and every one of us that he doesn't want us to stay in our brokenness, in our sin, in our shame. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring freedom. And that's a lot of what conviction is. And so if you feel convicted this morning, I'm going to say amen. Because I know that God cares so much about you that he doesn't want to keep you right where you're at. Same thing with me. So this morning, we are going to be in Matthew chapter 9. If you have a Bible, I hope you do, open to Matthew chapter 9. This has been a passage I've been reading on a regular basis, thinking about the life of Matthew, the character of Jesus, and the response of the Pharisees and the religious leaders around that time. We are really going to look in what I believe is a great example of the heart of the Father, what he really came to the world to accomplish. That's where we're going today. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to start in verses 9 through 13. But let me first pray, because I can't do this without Jesus. Lord Jesus, speak through your word.
there's anything that I would say shut me up, God, I want it to be about you and what you would say through your word, through your spirit this morning. The stage is yours. Let it be known that it's all about you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. This is what it says. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came, were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners." A little bit of context. This passage can also, or this account in Scripture, is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but John leaves it out. You can read about this again in Mark chapter 2, verse 13 through 17, and Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 28. How many know that if God repeats it more than once, it's probably important and we should pay attention? Okay? It's written in three different books in the Bible, and this is towards the beginning of Jesus' 3.5-year ministry. This is right around the time he's calling disciples, he's doing miracles, things are happening, the word of Jesus is beginning to spread throughout the region, and there's a little bit of an uproar. People are like, who is this Jesus who is healing people? Who is this Jesus who is calling disciples? And there was a lot of question about what was going on. This is Jesus in Capernaum, where he meets a young man named Matthew. Mark and Luke actually use the name Levi, but it's the same person. And he calls this young man to come and do life with Jesus for 3.5 years. And today, I want to take a moment. We're going to look at this account through three different perspectives. We're going to look at it through the life of Matthew. What did this moment in history mean for Matthew or Levi? What does this moment teach us about the character of Jesus? And then what can we learn from the response of the Pharisees? There's a lot in here. And it's easy just to read through it and move on. Like, oh, cool, he called Matthew, one of the 12, on we go. But there's a lot of cultural things that are happening. There's a lot of truths and examples that we can learn from this passage. So let's start with Matthew. What did this moment mean for Matthew? First off, you got to realize that Matthew or Levi was a Jew. It is likely believed that he was under the age of 20 years old, working as a tax collector for the Roman government. And how many know that that did not make Matthew liked? Because the Roman government, they came in with their armies, they started to oppress the nation of Israel, or the Jews, and the Jews wanted them gone. Which is why they crucified Jesus. Remember, towards the end of Jesus' ministry, right, the same people who were shouting Hosanna to Jesus, Hosanna to the Son of David at the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. These are the Jews saying, Jesus, save us. That's what the word Hosanna means. It literally means God save us. They're crying out to the Messiah to save them from what? To save them from the Roman government. But that's not why Jesus came. And what I find interesting about that passage is towards the end, the same people that shouted Hosanna were the same people that shouted crucify him when they didn't get their way. And these are the people that Matthew is working for. He's working for the people that are oppressing his own heritage. He was hated. He was rejected. And in Matthew's eyes, the sins that he had committed left him hopeless. How many of you guys feel that way some days? You feel like the things that you have done leave you in a place of hopelessness. But what did Jesus do? Jesus said, Matthew, come and follow me. Because Jesus came to seek and to save those which are lost. And Matthew was someone who was in desperate need of a Savior. And so Jesus walks up to the tax booth, calls him by name, and says, come follow me. I love this scripture, 2 Peter verses 3 through 9, or 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It speaks to the desire of the Lord. It says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some would count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should what? Reach repentance. That's what's happening right here in the life of Matthew. Matthew has been extended hope. Jesus is giving him redemption and grace. And he extends that same redemption and grace to all those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen? What does this teach us about the character of Jesus? I believe that this example really reveals the heart of God the Father and his heart to seek and to save those which are lost. See, Jesus didn't come to the world just to create a religion. Jesus didn't come to the world just to tell you what to do and what not to do. He came to seek out and to save those that are in need of a Savior. Another great example of this, there's actually a couple of them that I think of, is the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. Right? We love singing that song, Reckless Love of God, which talks about Jesus leaving the 99 and pursuing of the one, right? But what about the parable of the lost coin, where the woman's actually tearing up her house searching for that one coin because that coin was valuable? That's a symbolism of each and every lost person. Jesus is tearing up the ground searching for those that are in need of a Savior. So what can we learn about the character of Jesus? We can learn that he deeply desires all those to come to know him. He desires to bring redemption where there is hopelessness, love where there is shame. That's who Jesus is. But how did Jesus do it? Notice how Jesus didn't come up to Matthew and say, Matthew, you done screwed up. You should go to the temple. You should go pay your tithe. Oh, you should go do some sacrifice, talk to the priest, and maybe you'll be forgiven. That's not what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He said, come follow me. He said, I'm going to take you with me. For 3.5 years, you were going to learn from me. You were going to be taught and shown how to follow the Lord. And then I'm going to empower you with my Spirit, and I'm going to send you out to do the same for generations to come. See, Jesus invited Matthew to be one of his 12 best friends. So how did Jesus change the world? First off, let me tell you how I would change the world. And this is one said, this isn't original material. This is what I heard from someone that I adopted because I find it very clever. If we were to change the world, we would just get every single person in the world, 7.6 billion people, I'd put them in the biggest coliseum that man has ever known, and we would have the biggest service ever. And we would tell everyone what truth is, what to do, what not to do, who Jesus is, all of it. And then I would leave. I mean, you're thankful I'm not God. How did Jesus change the world? God changed the world by putting skin on. Heaven going bankrupt. God putting skin on, coming in the likeness of men, by which all people can be saved. He called 12 teenagers to come and do life with him for 3.5 years. And during those 3.5 years, he taught the disciples. He showed the disciples as an example so that one day they can do it all themselves. Here's an example, Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. I love this example that we read about the person of Jesus, the character of Jesus, and what he came to do. Go ahead and put this on. Go one more. Sorry, I skipped that one. Okay. Let each of you not only look out for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind amongst yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's who Jesus is. And that's what's happening in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus is starting his ministry. He's starting to change the world in a new way by coming in the likeness of men, humbling himself to the point of obedience, even leading to death on the cross, so that by his blood and his covenant, all can come to know who Jesus is and be saved. And for Matthew, this was a miracle. Now I want to take a little bit of longer time looking at it through the eyes of the Pharisees. The religious leaders of the time, how did they respond? Their response tells us something interesting about their culture. And I believe it reveals how they've kind of gone off track from the heart of God. What did they say? Who is this who sits at the table with tax collectors and sinners? What does that teach us? That teaches us that Jews, religious leaders, they didn't have dealings with those who were considered sinners. Because in accordance to the law, they were self-righteous people who were above those who were considered sinners. And they did not deal with them. How many know that that does not reveal the heart of the Father? Because God's heart didn't start in Matthew chapter 1. God's heart started before Genesis. God has been the same from the beginning. He has always desired to be with people who need him. But yet somewhere along the line, the Pharisees have got so wrapped up with tradition and religion that they've made it more about practices and man-made laws and all these different things adding up to where the fulfillment of the law of God, which they were forced to memorize by the age of 12 years old, was standing right before them. They completely missed it. And I would argue that if we are not careful, we can get in the same mindset and routine where our routine, our tradition, our religion can sometimes blind us from the movement of God right before our very eyes. Right. Let's heed the warning in Scripture. Because I do not want to be someone who misses the Lord's work right in front of my eyes. Here's another example in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. You have to know context to see it, but we'll talk about it. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope for righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So what is this passage teaching us? First off, you got to understand context. Paul is writing to the churches in Galatia. The biggest reason he is writing this book is because Galatia was divided between Jews and between Gentiles. And the Jews believed that in order to receive grace, you must be circumcised. And the Gentiles were like, well, we're not circumcised, so then therefore, can we be saved? And there was division between the believers. And so Paul's writing saying, hey, circumcision is of no advantage to you because Christ came to bring grace through faith alone. But yet the Jews in Galatia were so caught up with their old-time tradition that they missed the heart of God to the Gentiles right in front of them. If we're not careful, we can do the same. I'm guilty. And I'm sure some of you are too. But I believe this also shows how easy it is to let tradition pull us away from the truth of Jesus. Let's just take a moment and think about this a little deeper. What is the heart of God? What did he really come into this world to accomplish? The heart of God is to seek and to save those who are lost. He desires all people to reach repentance. What does this mean for us today and how we should represent Jesus to the world? One of the things that I've been learning is how Jesus spent more time at a table with sinners than he did in the temple. Jesus was fighting for those who needed a Savior. And that was one of the biggest criticisms he got in his ministry. Over and over again, the religious leaders were like, "Who is this who dines with sinners?" I believe it would be a great criticism if the church today was criticized the same way. Who are these people that are seeking out those who are lost? Who are these people who are dining at the table with sinners? I believe if we were known for that, the world would be changed. The reality of the world is there's 7.6 billion people. Are you aware that over 3.2 billion people don't even have access to the gospel? Over 42% of the world doesn't even have access, let alone those that have access, but no one's engaging them. If we were to add it up, the majority of the world is in desperate need of a Savior. And I do not believe that the future is going to be in this building. I believe Jesus is calling his people to fight for and to seek after those who are lost. Because how many know that every year, less and less people are just showing up to church without an invitation? Every year, less and less people are even following up on the invitation. And so what I'm saying is, if we really want to be successful in reaching this community, something has to shift. And maybe we need to get out of this building and start fighting for those that are lost at a table. Are you following me this morning? So here's a question to ponder. If Jesus were here physically on the earth, where do you think you would find him? I have a pretty good idea. I think I would find him sitting at a table with someone who doesn't know the love of God. And he would be sharing his life with him, because he knows how much God loves them. We're going to have the worship team come back. So here's just a few thoughts to ponder as we close. Really, we can probably fall in line with one of the three categories, or if not all three. I believe there might be some Matthews here today, that maybe you think that the things that you have done, the wrongs that you have committed, have left you hopeless. Or maybe you've accepted the tradition of church and you feel like that's enough, but inwardly there's something missing. Let me encourage you today that Jesus is still bringing hope. Jesus is still bringing mercy and grace. All you have to do is call on his name, and he will invite you in to the greatest adventure you will ever go on. An adventure of love, of hope, of redemption in the name of Jesus. He will empower you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. But there's probably also some people here that maybe would relate more with the Pharisees, where it's just been easy to get into a mindset of tradition, of religion, where when the Lord moves right in front of you, maybe you grumble and complain because it's different than what you're used to. I would encourage you this morning, let's just break away from tradition, break away from religion, and let's just get down to the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus for you, the heart of Jesus for the people next to you, the heart of Jesus for your neighbors, the heart of Jesus for your co-workers, all the people around you have the same heart of Jesus for them. And if we're not careful, we can miss it. And maybe there's some of you here that you can honestly say, "No, my heart, I am seeking out those who are in need of a Savior." Let me encourage you to keep running the race with endurance. Keep fighting for them. It is worth it in the end, church. Let me tell you, Jesus alone is worth it, but I would argue so are people. If you lay everything down so that that one person can come to know Jesus, it is worth it. They can ridicule you. That's okay. They ridicule Jesus. They can grumble. They can complain because they don't know Jesus. But we who do, we have an obligation to bear with those who do not know him. Let me encourage you today to keep running the race with endurance that is set before you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Run the race with endurance that's set before you, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, this morning. Lord Jesus, I love you. God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your word. Let us be challenged this morning and not leave here the same. We know that your spirit's moving. We know that there is a work at place right now. We ask that it would just overflow in this place as we respond today. In Jesus' name. Here's what I think we should do. We're going to have the ministry team available. And if there's anything that you need to just lay down before the Lord, now is a great time just to come and to say, hey, I want to just lay this before you. And people will surround you with love, with prayer. Don't walk out here without responding to Jesus. If your way of respond is to sit down and just pray by yourself, that is okay too. It doesn't have to look familiar. If you're one of those that likes to just sit with their hands in the air, go for it. If you're one of those that likes to come up and seek after Jesus in the front, great. If you're one of those like me, I like to go to the back, that's me. You can do that. But let's just take a moment and let's let Jesus do a work in our heart. Amen.
God, we just thank you. Thank you for your name. That at your name, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I pray, God, that as we depart from this gathering, that your word would continue to speak into our soul, that we would just continue to allow you to do a work in our life, to be more like you and represent you more to the people around you. Because Jesus, it's all for you. It's all about you. Bless each and every person here, God. May they know how close you are and how the heart of the Father is extended to each and every person here. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your Sunday. Happy 2022. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.